The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on June 8th, 2015, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tad evetarojana, sayat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the people to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like the Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. As such, all natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So at the present moment,
The world then is a perilous condition because the leaders are not qualified leaders. The modern day leaders are servants of their senses. They're not servants of the people they lead. They're the servants of their own selfish desires. Therefore, the world has been plunged into chaotic condition, ever increasingly chaotic condition. The ideal leaders are described here by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The ideal leaders are called acharyas, or one who teach by their example. The acharya is not a servant of his senses. He is a master of his senses. Servant of the senses means whatever the senses desire, you satisfy them. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudaro patta vegam. Mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. These senses are screaming at us, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. One who gives in to the desires of the senses, he is called Godas. One who masters over the senses, he is called Goswami. Unfortunately, the modern-day leaders are the category of Godas. They are not qualified to lead the world. The actual qualified leaders, they are called Goswami. Those who engage their senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. Those who engage their senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha or Krishna, they are the qualified leaders of the world. So this Krishna consciousness movement has been started in order to provide proper leadership for the world. Therefore, it is the duty of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, each and every one of them, to become Goswamis, masters of their senses, instead of servants of their senses. As long as I remain servant of my senses, I'm not qualified to lead anyone. I can't even lead myself properly. One who serves his senses, he's going to hellish condition. He's being dragged by his senses into a hellish condition. One who actually masters the senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, by engaging him in the service of Krishna, that person is a liberated soul. He's not going to take birth again in this material world. That person is on the pathway back to the spiritual world. So, that's the caliber of leaders we need in the world. Those who are actually serving Krishna and going back to his kingdom. Why? Because the purpose of the human life is not to remain in the cycle of birth and death. We have been caught up for innumerable millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions of years in the cycle of birth and death, going through the 8,400,000 species. Sometimes a aquatic, sometimes a tree or a plant, sometimes a worm or a reptile, sometimes a bird or a beast, and sometimes a human being. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. So if you have a human body and you don't use it for self-realization, it's the greatest tragedy. Because if you don't use it for self-realization, you're not really qualified to be a human being. And nature will send you back to a position for which you are qualified in your next life, as an animal, as a plant, is it? So, if you actually want to become liberated, if you actually want to become a happy, fulfilled person, then you must take the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master who shows you the way how to get out of the cycle of birth and death, how to come back to your original identity that you once had in the spiritual world before you made the stupid mistake of trying to rebel against the Lord. You understand? A stupid mistake, asinine mistake, trying to rebel against the authority of the Lord, trying to be a lord ourselves. This was our problem, you see. So instead of trying to be the Lord, which we all try to do here, even we see in little children, some kid comes to visit another kid in his house. He goes in the kid's room, and the kid, he looks at the other kid's toys, and what does the kid say? Mine! Don't touch that, that's my toy, you see. So this sense of false sense of proprietorship is there even in little children. Even in little children, this false sense of proprietorship is there. So in this way, we have to understand our actual diseased condition of trying to lord it over what is not ours to lord over. Krishna says, Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shancham rishtati. I am the enjoyer of everything because I'm the proprietor of everything. And I'm the best friend of all living entities. And only those who understand and realize this can have true peace and happiness in their lives. This is the proclamation of God. Unless you can realize His position, you're not going to make it. I don't care whether if you have money, if you have prestige, you have followers, you're not going to become happy. You won't be. You see, a poor Krishna conscious person is much happier than a rich person who's not Krishna conscious. Some of the greatest devotees were in complete poverty. There was one devotee, his name was Kolavecha Sridhar. And he made his living by making cups out of banana leaves. And, you know, the banana leaves grow everywhere, especially in the Bengal, where he was living. And he was, whatever he made, he would give half of it in the service to the river Ganges. So he was a very poor man. But he was in complete ecstasy of love of God. Lord Chaitanya used to come to him and take his cups without paying for them. And he was having this ecstasy with Lord Chaitanya, you see. And he would cry in ecstasy in the evening time in love of God. The neighbors thought he was crying out of hunger, but actually he was crying in the ecstasy of love of God. You see. So money doesn't really make it. Followers don't really make it. Having surrounded by beautiful women, that doesn't really make it, you see. What really makes it is when you have a loving relationship with Krishna or God. That's when you really got it, you see. Because this whole material world is not really, it's not really the, it's like a mirage in the desert. It's real, but it's not what it appears to be. This appears to be something very substantial, doesn't it? The earth, the stars, the sun, the moon. Looks pretty substantial. But you know what? As soon as Mahavishnu inhales, the whole thing is finished. The whole thing goes into all the material universes. There are millions and billions of material universes. What we think is such a great, huge space is just a little tiny speck within the material world. And all these millions and billions of little specks called universes are withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu every time he inhales. And he's breathing regularly, just like you're breathing regularly. He is also. So what we think is such a vast span of time, our 311 trillion years duration of this universe, is just like Mahavishnu, is it? So don't be so carried away by, you know, the external world here, thinking, yes, this is home sweet home. This is like Prabhupada gave the example of the first Russian cosmonaut orbiting the earth, you see. And every time he would come around, he would look down, oh, where is my Moscow? You see. Where is my Moscow? My home sweet home, Moscow. You see? We think we have our home sweet home here, but actually this whole thing is going to be annihilated in a second. What do you think is so substantial? Your career, the house you worked for 30 years to pay for, etc., the car, the family you developed, all these things. Phew, is he finished? So what have you realized about your relationship with God? That's going to make you or break you. What have you realized about your eternal identity? Beyond the temporary identities, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, such-and-such doctor, such-and-such, you know, position, such-and-such company, such-and-such address, at such-and-such house, number 31, or whatever it may be, you see. We take these things as so permanent and eternal, but actually, they come and they go, like the passing of the seasons. What remains is your eternal identity. It's called Svarup, Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. Your actual identity is you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Now, if you don't focus on that, if you don't zero in your consciousness on the fact that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, then I have to inform you, my dear ladies and gentlemen, you are grossly cheating yourselves. Grossly cheating yourselves. You understand? You have to zero in, focus your consciousness on this point, that I'm not this body, I'm not a member of a particular nation, a particular gender, a particular race. This has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and that's it. That's it. If you can zero in on this, if you can understand this, if you can focus on this, if you can manifest this in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, in all times, places, and circumstances, you're called a liberated soul. Even while you're here in this material world, you can be Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul. Manasa, get it? It's stated by Rupa Goswami. Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. One who engages his body, mind, and words fully in the service of Lord Sri Krishna is a liberated soul even in all conditions of material existence. So it's up to you how you want to engage yourself. You want to just serve your senses? Just serve the extensions of your senses, your family members, your friends, your nation, your community. That's all you want to do. Well, as you sow, so shall you reap, Lord, the Bible says. If you want to serve the asat, the temporary, non-eternal things, you're going to remain in the asat, miserable world called the material world. Birth after birth after birth after birth. So it's up to you. You can utilize your human life or you can waste your human life. So I see some people are writing some questions down. That's very nice. Why don't you pass them up? Let's see here. Looks like our online course disconnected again. We had some people tuned in from all over the world. And now we're going to get them back online again, trying to get them back. But there was a break in the internet connection. See if we can get the online people back on. I had about 10 people listening in from different parts of the world, Australia, Europe, India, different places. But unfortunately, there was a break in the internet connection. Let's see if we can get them back now. Okay, good, we're back. Let's see here. If anybody of y'all, the internet people can hear, just type it in on the chat window. Yes, we can hear. It looks like we're online, okay. Somebody can hear out there chatting. Let us know. I don't see anybody. But anyway, hopefully. Hopefully though. Yeah, here we go. Looks like anybody in the group can hear, just type in, you can hear. All right. If someone accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accepts the process but continues to say, one day I will follow, how do we convince them to follow without delay? Well, they don't really accept the process. Accepting the process means you take it up immediately. If you say you postpone it, you haven't really accepted it yet. And that's all. They can't claim that I really accept this if they're not doing it. Actions speak louder than words. How to remain sober and not consider ourselves advanced in Krishna consciousness? Well, are you seeing Krishna at every minute? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang sham sundaram achint yuganasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows in abodes. Let's see. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So do you see? Is that what you're experiencing every minute? Do you see Krishna within and without, wherever you go? Well, if not, you're not an advanced devotee yet. You're still a stumbling neophyte. That's the real meaning of an advanced devotee. And see, we may think we're advanced, but actually we're not very advanced. When you can actually experience Krishna face to face, then you know you're advanced, you see. But you want such a devotee who never advertise, oh yes, I'm advanced. That's the real symptom of being advanced. When you can actually personally experience Krishna at every minute, that's advanced devotee. Otherwise, you got a way to go yet. Okay, you have something more to hand me? Okay, the next one is, can chanting Hare Krishna really change our karma? Oh, absolutely, every syllable is changing your karma. Hare Krishna. You just made four changes to your karma right there.
More than that.
At least.
That.
4 million.
More than what you had done.
One pure utterance of Krishna's name can relieve you of more sinful activities than you can commit in millions and billions of lifetimes. That's how powerful it is, Krishna. Trouble is, we're not chanting purely yet. That's the problem. We have to learn how to chant purely. Krishna gives us minute independence, but how does one distinguish if the result of the decisions we make is Krishna's mercy, or just the result of a wise or unwise decision on our part? Well, if you made a wise decision, it's Krishna's mercy. Because we're pretty stupid, really. If you made a wise decision, that was Krishna's mercy, that's all. Oh yes, I'm very wise. No. If you made a stupid decision, then that wasn't Krishna, it was your nonsense. How can we practically overcome the desire to oversleep? Becoming mad after God. How to become mad after God. The gopis, let's describe the gopi girls. Krishna, let's see here. The gopi girls were so keen on seeing Krishna that they cursed Lord Brahma that he gave them eyes that blinked. They were absolutely infurious that they had eyes that blinked, because that gave them that little bit of time they didn't see Krishna. So you can imagine, if they cursed the blinking of their eyes, how much interest they were in sleeping. You can understand. Okay, so please enlighten us about what we can do when a loved one takes their own life. We know that the soul roams aimlessly for thousands of years. Is there a prayer that can be done? Your relative became a ghost. Well, all you can do is become a pure devotee, and they're attraction to you that will save them. But you can't really, there's not like something you can do to reverse their, save them from hell just by chanting some special mantra. You just become a pure devotee. That's how that becomes it. Bhagavad Gita 2:14 says, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course, so like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons, they arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. How can happiness disturb us? That's pseudo happiness. It's like I got a new car, for example, and I go, "Oh wow, I got my new car!" You know, I'm just thinking, "Yeah, my new car, and it smells so good and it feels so good." But I go, "Oh, my new car!" And see, you're forgetting the reality. The death can come at any minute, and you're the eternal servant of Krishna. So material happiness can be a disturbance for the genuine happiness of Krishna consciousness. That's how happiness can disturb. We hear every time how Krishna is everyone's heart. Who is in Krishna's heart? The devotees are in Krishna's heart. Krishna's devotees are in his heart. Please explain why initiation is absolutely necessary. There's three things that you require if you want to go back to Godhead. This is just like we have a microphone stand here. It has three legs. If you take out one leg, it'll fall over. If you have two legs, it'll fall over. There's one leg, it'll fall over. If there's no leg, it'll be falling over. Three legs are required to make it solid. Okay, so there are three legs of bhakti, which you have to have if you want to get out of this material. Will you? Number one, you got to take shelter of a guru. It's the order of Rupa Goswami. Adau Garashvayam. And then the second step is you have to solidify that shelter by a vow that now I'm under your order for all of eternity. You see? It's not like, well, I feel really sheltered by you and I'm really like following you, but tomorrow I'll do something else. No. Shelter has to be followed by diksha or initiation that now I vow that I will always be loyal for you and follow your instructions. And the third one is you have to then do it. You have to obey. We see that some disciples take shelter, they get initiated, they don't obey. The guru tells them to do something, they say, no, I'm not going to do that. So their position is a very dangerous position. They won't obey the spiritual master. So they don't have that relationship. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta shtate janaha mad bhakta nam chi ye bhakta te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. That's Krishna says. So you say, well, Krishna, why does it have to be this way? Can't I just be your devotee? Well, wait a minute. Who's the boss around here, Krishna or you? Krishna says, if you want to be my devotee, you become the devotee of my devotee. That's all. Krishna's the supreme authority. He lays down the law, and you can either, you know, harmonize with Krishna, or you can remain in disharmony with Krishna and stay in the cycle of birth and death. Your choice. Why is second initiation necessary? Second initiation is recognition, actually, that you have fixed now in your initiation vows. So we recognize you as a brahmana, a twice-born person. It's actually an official recognition that now you've proven yourself that you can take initiation vows and stick to them. That qualifies you to be a twice-born brahmana, a knower of the truth, and a liver of the truth. And it gives you the facility also for worshipping the deities in the temple. And to be recognized as a leader, a spiritual leader. When one desires to cease serving their senses, but is struggling with a particular sense object, what to do in that situation? Well, you have to absorb yourself somehow or other in something else. If one of the senses is carrying you away, then you have to engage that sense in something else. That's all. Param drishtva nivartate. You have to get a higher taste. If your eyes are being lured by beautiful girls, then you have to get your eyes lured by that fantastically gorgeous, magnificently, splendorously sublime Krishna, you see. For example, if your eyes are being carried away by beautiful girls, then they get carried away by beautiful Krishna. How wonderful he is. He's so beautiful. Just like this picture, just like this Krishna here, you see. On the computer. He's incomparably beautiful. Everything about Krishna is just, he's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. You see. Absolutely gorgeous. Angandi yashashakalandriya vittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindamari purusham dhamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Show me any girl who can do that. Is he? It's full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Now that's awesome. That is really awesome. And that's Krishna. So you just got to fall in love with Krishna, that's all. Learn to be carried away by Krishna. Krishna. And the name is so beautiful. Krishna, 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 Krishna. There's no more beautiful sound vibration in all the universe. Krishna. Romeo and Juliet. Romeo thought that Juliet was the most beautiful name, and Juliet thought that Romeo was the most beautiful name. Oh, Romeo. Oh, Juliet. But how long did it last? Is it? How long did it last? How long did it last? It's here today and gone tomorrow. But when you give your love to Krishna, you see, it's eternal. It never goes away. It just becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. So if you're smart, you'll give your love to Krishna. He won't give it to anyone else. All your love goes to Krishna. How can one remember Krishna if one mistakenly performs sinful activities? You have to just beg forgiveness and go on chanting Hare Krishna. Does good and bad really matter? You got to go beyond good and bad. They're both of the material nature. They're called karma vikarma. Karma is good. Doing pious works is called karma. Doing bad things is called vikarma, or sinful activities. So both of them are not really that great. We're not so interested in good and bad. We want to go beyond good and bad. That's called the fifth dimension, beyond good and bad, you see. The fifth dimension, akarma, the realm of transcendental service. So the next thing is there. The next thing in the stack on my table. There's a book sitting here. Huh? Somebody put a book up here. Actually, the book is written by me. You may say, but only Prabhupada's books. What are you doing? You kind of upstart writing a book. Who do you think you are? Prabhupada's books is the only books. Well, Prabhupada. I asked Prabhupada. I took advantage when I was a young brahmachari. I wrote him a letter one time. I asked him, can I write books? He said, this sounds very pleasing. He authorized me to write books. So it's authorized by Prabhupada. It's bona fide. And it's, you know, you may know Hari Sari. You ever heard of Hari Sari? He's Prabhupada's personal servant. He's written the introduction to this book, Hari Sari Prabhu. Highly recommends this book also. And this book actually is questions and answers in the science of Krishna consciousness. It's very good to help you get convinced of all the aspects of our philosophy and teachings, and also for preaching to others. It's actually all it is questions and answers, all in sections. There's different sections like, you know, one religion, world religions, universal harmony, nature of the soul, our eternal constitutional position, different levels of realization, the cause of all causes, the absolute truth, the Vaya medium, chanting, offering food, so many aspects. It's divided into different sections. So this book is available. We just have a limited quantity here right now in this country. So if you want to get one tonight, you'll get a signature and a little blessing and your name, to your name, a little blessing in the book. So we have that available now, anybody who wants it. And it's going for how much today? What's the special price today?
200.
200 rand. Okay, so we thank you all for coming. And if anybody wants a book, just come on forward. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.